Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Well, welcome back to Gemma's Boxing Podcast with me, John.
I'm Sam.
And today we have Ishmael Davis joining us. It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking your time to join us. How's it going? You all right?
It's good, man. It's good. It's a pleasure to be on here as well.
No, thank you. Basically, we'll talk about your career so far. By the looks of it, absolute massive things coming in the future as well. We'll strip it right back like I like to get into all my guests. How did you start boxing?
I started boxing because I've got a brother who's 2 years older than me. We always used to fight at home. And I always used to be like fighting on the street when I was a kid. So my brother, he took me to Rick Manners' boxing gym.
And what?
That's Leeds where you're based, isn't it?
What you say?
But that's where you're based in Leeds, though, isn't it? That gym.
Yeah, I'm based in Leeds, but I'm training out of a Golden Team right now.
How old was you when you started?
12.
What was it? Just you started as walking the gym. Did you get a feel for it, or was it because I know some people go in the gym not like it, but some people just go in and they're like, yeah, this is me.
Well, do you know what it is at first? Obviously, I was always like fighting at school, street fighting, always like, you know, a little troublesome child. But it was my oldest brother that took me. So he's about 13 years older than me, 12 years older than me. So he probably was about 24 at the time. And yeah, he just took me down there. I met my good friends, Reese Cartwright and Zahid Hussain. Zahid Hussain's an English champion. He's fighting next month as well.
He's on the Brentwood show, isn't he?
Yeah, I watched him. Yeah.
Yeah, we spoke to him. We spoke to him at Lakeside.
Yeah. So
he's Andre Grant, isn't he?
Yeah. Is it Andre Grant? Yeah, I think that's his name. Yeah. So no, he's not fighting Andre Grant. Andre Grant's the mixed race guy, isn't he? He's Andre Grant, the mixed race guy.
That'll check, but I swear he is.
Is it Andre Grant?
His opponent didn't turn up for media day. I remember that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
like I said, I walked into the gym. Them two was more, they started earlier than us, so they was more experienced. And we used to just have to spar, like Rick Manners used to be harder than us, so we used to have to spar loads around. And I was not as good as them two at first, and Reese used to battle me. And that's the way I remember us both. We were so young, I remember us both like fighting. I think about I started at 11, I had a fight at 12. I started at 11, I had a fight in 2008. I think I was 12 then. But yeah, so we used to be battering each other, man, crying and sparring at the same time. It was mad, it was crazy. Some mad memories.
I take it then from there, you're like, yeah, this is me. Would you say that discipline just to stop fighting in the streets, or was it sort of like, yeah?
Nah, but well, do you know what it is? It gave me discipline, innit? But I was still like getting in trouble all the time and out on the streets and that.
I say, you had your first fight at 12. I take it straight into the amateurs and stuff.
Nah, it wasn't amateurs, man. It was unlicensed. I only had one unlicensed amateur fight. So me being where I am now, it's a surprise to a lot of people because I didn't do any amateurs. I only had one unlicensed amateur unlicensed amateur fight. So now I've just got to where I am from just being dedicated, going around sparring everyone, and just working hard, basically.
So you're learning on the job. You go to the boards, and the board obviously do their bits as well. Is it just the fact that stuck yourself in the gym?
You have to do like a test. Like I did this test with Rob Smith, and you had to go to his gym, and I had to show him. You basically have to prove you can box before you can turn over. So I did that test. Obviously, I went to jail, and then I went back to jail. And then when I came out, I just said, you know what, I'm changing my life. So I changed my life, and then did that test, and then I turned pro here with Mark Bateson.
Because Sam's done the board stuff, so he understands like the test and everything like that.
Where did you go for you? You had to do like test, like trial, didn't you?
Yeah, where did I go for the trial? I went to. Is it in the Hull? It might be. No, it's not in Hull. I don't know. I think it might be in York, Doncaster Hull. I don't know. One of them.
Yeah, probably be Doncaster.
Yeah, Donny, Rob Smith. Yeah, I can't remember where it is, but. Yeah, it was ages ago. Now that was what that was like.
17.
That was 2000. You know, I've been for 6 years now. Probably like 2016 or something.
Did you get scrutinised by the board for like things? Say like your lack of amateur career. You're sort of one unlicensed, because I know they're not a fan of the unlicensed stuff either. So did you get proper scrutiny?
They didn't really ask me. They just, basically, because I've been boxing for so long, and then when I did the test, it's all about the testing. And when you do the testing and all that, you're good enough. That's when you get your license after that. So I don't think they really went into it much. They just want to know, like, you've got no criminal record right now. No, not criminal record. You've got no ongoing
investigations.
And you're basically a free man, and then you can start boxing, because you don't want anyone with like ongoing cases to represent British boxing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, because everyone, like, I know things happened in the past and stuff, but everyone should have second chances to suck their life out, and you're probably a really good example of this as well.
Yeah, you know what it is? I think that's massive, because, like, no matter what, you need role models in. Like, I'm from a community like Chapeltown where there's no role models. There's really, really none, which is sad. There was one role model, Michael Richards, and he was a footballer.
Yeah.
And he was a big, big footballer, and that was only like role model that we had around there. But I'm still like very much around there. Do you know what I mean? So there's like Michael Richards. He obviously footballers, you know, they go to where they're playing footy. So he was in Manchester. You know what I mean? So I'm still here. So all the kids growing up, the kids get to actually see it happening, and I can speak to them.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's good, man. It's massive. Everyone should deserve a second chance, because there's a lot of kids now that are doing boxing that are, like, the other day I had my kid do jiu-jitsu, and I went in there, and one of the mums were like, my son looks up to you and he's going to start boxing. And it's just like the influence that it can have, you know, just from people realising and being able to explain their story and show that there's a different way. It's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It probably gives you a boost as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it does, man. It gives me a big boost, man.
So you get at it. You go to your first pro fight against Patrick Busick.
Yeah.
How are you feeling for your pro debut? So you've only got your one unlicensed fight. You're selling tickets?
Yeah. I sold a lot of tickets for my first fight. I remember it being ram. And do you know what it is? Just imagine, like, going through what I've been through, obviously, like, not want to get into it too much, but I don't bring it in. Going in jail and then coming out of jail and then having a fight where everyone's coming professionally. So it was massive pressure, you know what I mean? And then, I was nervous. I rushed it just like anyone would in the first. It's basically my first actual fight with an audience there. So it's like I'm trying to knock him out. I'm trying to impress the crowd. I can hear people say, knock him out. I'm trying to knock him out because they're saying it. And it just comes with experience. Like now, I would never listen to anyone but my corner.
Yeah,
and it's because I've got used to it and I'm experienced and I've been putting the work in now. So, but it was a good experience and it's a good story to tell, isn't it?
There's nothing better in the crowds than when you hear someone just go, punch him. Like, you're not going to. No, no, I'm not here for that. I'm just here for something else. You know what I mean?
Knock him out.
What am I trying to do? So you basically it goes to a point and you put him down in a second and then you go on to Scott Hillman.
Yeah.
And it's just is it the fact you're just here learning on the job, as you like you said, you've been in the gym but now you're getting that experience with the bright lights and the crowd and the stuff like that? Is it just a case of learning on the job?
Yeah, it was a learning on the job. But he was a better opponent and I boxed way better on that fight. But still, you're learning on the job. You cannot buy experience. You cannot get anything like the real thing. Do you know what I mean? So when you're under them lights and you're fighting, it's a big difference. That I can go up to the gym and spar like Floyd Mayweather, and then I can get under the lights and fight totally different because it's a different, like, it's just a different feeling altogether. And if I fought how I spar like all the time, like, I'd be looked at as like one of the best, but it's not like that. And fighting is way different to sparring, and boxing under the lights is way different to, you know, being in a gym. You know, putting on a good show.
We're Kent based, aren't we? So I'd Ellen Road at Leeds as well. What's the venue like?
It's not the football ground. It's like a little centre sort of thing at the side. It's called the Pavilion. It's a good venue though. A good venue for small hall shows, definitely.
Because we've got what York Hall down here, Brentwood. They have to have one as well. There's a few down here that we've got as well.
Yeah.
You go to your third fight. Then it's your first knockout with Dwayne Grant.
Yeah.
So you get in now. Do you feel like you're getting into the swing of things? You'll be able to. You're sitting more down on everything. I'm guessing loose, being a bit more loose.
Yeah, I knocked him out in Southport. I stopped doing Southport, basically. Like, I've been learning. Like, when I first fought and I first started, because I would get him on Mark Bateson. He was my manager. I turned over with Mark. And I had to train with him. I still do train with him now, but before I wasn't training with him. And then when I turned over, he said, look, I need to get to know you properly, see what you're doing. And he started working with me with Southpaw. And I've always been, because I started Southpaw, started a Southpaw boxer. And when I went to Birmingham, that's where Mark and Jack Bateson and all them lot was when I was young. Because I went to Birmingham at like 14 after being to Rick Manners. And then I learned how to be an orthodox. Because obviously I'm right-handed, so I shouldn't have been a Southpaw as a right-hander. Do you know what I mean? So when I started training with Mark, started learning Southpaw more, and obviously after what, it's my third camp now. And yeah, I'm learning more. I'm sitting down, my style's changing. I'm learning how to be a proper boxer. And then, yeah, he came in. I remember that Dwayne Grant came in a scream mask. And obviously I came out second. Everyone's like, yo, he's got a scream mask on. You know, you better knock this guy out. You get me? So his ring entrance is coming with a scream mask. And so I've gone in there and he's proper like giving it like with his movements. He's giving it the big one. Like not talking, but you know, like in his movements, how he's acting and that, giving it the big one. And I just remember I hit him with a straight left down the pipe. Just dropped him. It was in Southpaw, and that was my first Southpaw stoppage. And now I'm just like can box Southpaw just as good as I box Orthodox.
Actually, it's good to change it up a bit as well.
Yeah.
Do you think because obviously you do the gym work? Do you think you, as you're talking about, they're working with you? You're like a blank canvas, so a trainer could help you with doing different bits, because sometimes when you're really, really experienced in like going massive amateur, sometimes you can go into the pros and then it's a bit like, it's really hard to teach old dog new tricks, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. 1,000,000%, because I know people and people around me and, you know, people that have got amateur styles, and it's hard for them to come out of the amateur way. But I remember when I was a kid and I used to spar like older men, like not like too old. I was like 14. I'll be sparring like someone that's 24. You know what I mean? Like guys that was on the come up. And I remember that I had like a kind of pro style then. You know, I always used to fight. I used to just love fighting. So it wasn't like I'm just bouncing in and out. I'm just trying to, I've always been trying to knock someone out. So yeah, like being a blank canvas, but also having like the style I've got, it made it probably easier for trainers to train me. Do you know what I mean?
So you move on to Victor Adiga.
Yeah.
And then you go to Victor Adiga, you beat Victor Adiga. Mm-hmm. Is it a case of are you looking to go, so yours would be Midlands area. So you go Victor Adiga, you're 5-0. Is it Midlands area, English, is that getting spoken about, or are you just happy to continue what you're doing? Because I know you have another two more fights in 2019, but is there a plan for you at this time?
Realistically, not yet, because I knew, like, I've got a good set of heads around me, so I knew that we need to get the experience. So titles and that was not really getting spoke about at that point. You know, I was just getting in there and fighting, really, and getting used to being under the lights. Because my trainer, Keith Walton, he's a very smart man. He's the reason why I'm where I am now. And he just always kept me grounded and made me understand that, yo, this is not a game, because the boxing is not a game and you can't play boxing. So a lot of people get built up and hype around them and, you know, the head gets too big and they think that they can run before the walk, do you know what I mean? So it's like, I had to just keep myself level-headed, and I knew that I had to build the experience. And everything that's happening now has happened at the right time. And it's only now I'm fighting for English eliminators, and, you know, I feel like I've had the right build-up.
So you went with you fought Liam Griffiths and Sam Amidi. I'm taking your break then would have been where COVID hit.
Yeah.
So how did
awful times?
I was going to say, how did that? I take it had a big effect on. So you're 7-0 at the time. You're motoring on, and then COVID hit.
This way again. I was like 13.5 stone.
Right.
So I literally just stayed at home, eating. Oh, it was awful. Not training. I was just eating. I was just doing whatever I wanted to do. Come back, gym start opening. I'm some frigging light heavyweight. It was tough, man. It was tough.
So was you tough, you come back against Daryl Sharp in 2021. Did you feel like there was a bit of ring rust, or was it just straight back into it? It feels good. Obviously, you got to not a light heavyweight. You got to come back down to welter.
Yeah, it was hard because I fought him at a heavyweight. I can't remember. I think I was like, I might have been like 11 stone 10. I fought him at. Like, I was way heavier than what I should be normally. And I might have been heavy, I don't even know. But yeah, that was a good fight. And that just got me ready now. And then the camp after that, I was back. Do you know what I mean? I was back to my normal weight then. So yeah.
Then you went in with 1-0 Zane Clark as well.
Yeah, that was, at that time that was the fight I needed, because he was a tough opponent, and I had to work, and he just kept coming forward, and you could hit him with anything and he just wouldn't go in nowhere. You know what I mean? It was a good fight then.
Because I can see, obviously, the journeyman stuff, because everyone has, like, I think people don't realise how good journeymen are. Also, how important to your development journeymen are as well. And you can see the step up in opponent gradually, the improvements as well and stuff like that. And then obviously that's where I think if you're a casual fan, it sometimes can be missed. And also when these journeymen that do come, they are fucking good. They know what they're doing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
Darryl Sharp is a good journeyman. Darryl Sharp is one of probably the best journeyman that I've been around. Do you know what I mean? He's a serious contender. And he's, if my boy Reece Cartwright fought him as well, and he gave Reece Cartwright a good fight also. He's a tough guy. But journeyman, like you're saying, especially when you're coming from where I was coming from, you need journeymen to build you up. You need the right journeymen at the right time, because you can get some that are banana skins and people fall and get beat. Do you know what I mean? So journeymans are a key thing. But now where I'm at,
of course. We'll get to that. So you had Gabor Gabisk.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And then, so he had a 50% record with Dustin Ammon as well. He also had a 50% record as well.
So both of them are good.
That tide's changing now, and you both. Also, you're now on this little. This is where you come into this little knockout streak that you've got at the moment as well. I've noticed.
Yeah. Putting in that work, man. It shows. I'm making people, if they want to get to that last bell, they've got to work and they've got to be good, because I'm putting the pressure on them. Do you know what I mean?
And then now that we obviously, because we got Lester Espino, who has a winning record, is it that point you're like, right, let's get these titles in?
Yeah, that made me realise how good, like, what I'm doing is working and how good I am. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's making me realise, that was the fight where I realised, like, I've got enough experience now to move on to bigger things now. So, and I'm going around and I'm sparring very, very, very well. So, like, it's I know what I'm doing now, innit? So,
yeah.
I'm ready to do it. Yeah.
And it come to your last fight against you and McKenzie on the Matchroom show.
Yeah.
The big lights, Newcastle Arena.
Best night of my life so far. That was good. I got the whole experience, the shit talking on the press conference, the lead up to the fight, the fight on the night, everything. It just felt right, man. Felt good.
How was it under the big lights as well? Because obviously up until, I know you've done Sheffield Arena, but then you're doing the Elland Road stuff as well. So you're the Elland Road, I can imagine you get used to, and then Newcastle Arena is going to be massive, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
Not trying to disrespect Leeds, like the Elland Road stuff either. Don't.
Yeah, because do you know what it is? No. Because obviously the small hall shows is key. It's like fight night champion, and you play the game, you start like at the bottom. You have to build up. Do you know what I mean? It's not a joke when it's real life. So it's like, being under them lights there, that was like, it was just like, I know that's where I belong, and I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do in this game. I am going to be one of the most spoke about English boxers, you know, in England. And I'm here to take over, and I'm 28. I'm still young. I've still got, you know, I'm ready. And but yeah, being on that show, it was surreal, and it was like Eddie Hearn's there, you know, you're getting interviews and people are here to see you. Plus, I've got over 200 people came up from Leeds to watch me up there. So it was a good night, man. And then I got the stoppage as well. I even felt better. My kids were there. You know, it's crazy, man. It's crazy what's happening. It's actually mad.
the million-dollar question. So what's next for you? And like I said, I know what you're going to answer. What are we expecting from you?
You're expecting stoppages, man. And what's next? I wanted to fight Lee Cutler for the English, but obviously he's got some big cuts, so he's not going to be available. So either another eliminator, like a final eliminator, or another belt. But what I can say is that I'm on a Matchroom show again, and it's going to be announced soon. It should be announced in the next 2 weeks or so.
Oh, brilliant.
Whereabouts?
I don't know if I should say.
Trying to get a little bit, just a little bit.
It's going to be announced real soon, man. It's going to be announced soon.
What we like to do with all our guests as well is pick your perfect boxer with different attributes, past, present. I'm going to pick your brain here with your boxing knowledge as well. It does put a load of people on the spot, this. So if I was to say who has the best footwork for a boxer, who would you pick?
Nowadays.
Past, present. It could be anyone.
The best footwork. Right, for a switch here, I'd have to say Terence Crawford, because he can do both, and that's kind of my idol, because he's just elite. That's the person that I kind of go off, you know. Past, Sugar Ray Leonard.
What about footwork. Boxing IQ?
Shakur Stevenson.
Punch power?
Lower weights, Javonte Davis. Higher weights. Punch power, probably Deontay Wilder. Not the best boxer, but one of the biggest punches in the game, you know what I mean?
Chin?
I'd have to say Triple G.
Defensive work?
Floyd Mayweather.
And attacking prowess?
Manny Pacquiao.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Anything you want to add?
Who else? Got a shout out Marvin Hagler as well.
He
was the man. Yeah.
Now, thank you. Thank you for joining us as well. Obviously, we look forward to it. We look forward to watching your career blossom. Hopefully, by the end of it, we could get you on and talk about the rest of your career and see where you go, or you might be too big for us by then.
Nah, listen, one thing about me is I'm never too big for anything. I don't care. Nothing in this world can. We're all the same, man. With some just entertained on different levels. That is it. We're not like. No one's better than anyone.
I appreciate your time as well. And thank you for joining us and talking about your career.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. I've been trying to get you on for ages.
It's all good though, isn't it? When people like you go out in Portugal and you're busy out in Portugal and stuff like that, you're like, and with everyone out there, you know that iron sharpens iron out there. There were some good lads out there. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, sick, man.
You're good friends with Dalton Smith, aren't you?
Yeah. Dalton's my boy, man.
Is it any chance you could throw a bone his way? Because I want him on as well.
I'll speak to him, man. He'll do it. Dalton, if you like me, man, he's cool, man. I'll speak to him. I'll ring him after this call.
Yeah, because... like with previous, I do work security in it, and I've worked Matchroom shows, and Dalton, on fire. Massive respect for Dalton, mate. The dude's game, lady.
Yeah, he's a top guy, man. He's also one of the best boxers in England, and you know he's obviously British champion outright, and he's going on to massive things. So shout out my boy Dalton, man. That's a real one.
Yeah, brilliant. Now, thank you, mate. Everyone listening, if you enjoyed it, we're Patreon £3 a month, the JMS Boxing Podcast. All our socials, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, TikTok, all of that. Cheers. Sports Social Podcast Network.